It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
I'm Brian Kilmeade.
I'm Kennedy.
I'm Sean Duffy, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Tuesday, March 5th, 2024. I'm Dave Anthony. I should have said Super Tuesday. There are contests in 15 states, and former President Trump could defeat Nikki Haley in all of them, taking a big leap toward the Republican nomination.
Just looking at the map and how the math works out, some of these are proportional, some of them are winner-take-all, and if he does very well, he could be in position to mathematically clinch on the 12th.
I'm Jessica Rosenthal. Super Tuesday may be Nikki Haley's last stand as the Trump team feels a tailwind from yesterday's Supreme Court decision.
Joe Biden does not have a base, and Nikki Haley doesn't have a base either. So she should focus on winning voters within her own party before she even talks about a general election.
And I'm Janice Dean. I've got the final word on the Fox News Rundown.
It's Super Tuesday. With voting in 15 states, plus there's a Democratic caucus in American Samoa. But with President Biden facing very little challenge on that side, the focus is on Republicans.
We need each and every one of you to get the patriots from your family, your friends, everybody, get them out and turn them out to vote in record numbers.
That was former President Trump at a rally in North Carolina. He also told supporters in Virginia on Saturday not to worry about all his indictments he calls election interference.
I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't. But it's all going to work out. We're going to come out so good. I'm more popular than I ever was because of these people.
Now, in addition to those two states, there are also primaries or caucuses in Alabama, Alaska, Arkansas, and California, Massachusetts, Minnesota, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, and Vermont, and in Colorado and Maine, where the former president will be on the ballots after Monday's Supreme Court ruling.
Rightly or wrongly, chaos follows him. And we can't be a country in disarray and a world on fire and go through 4 more years of chaos. We won't survive it.
That was Nikki Haley in Portland, Maine, Sunday, the same day she won the Washington, D.C. primary, her first victory. The Trump campaign dismissed it, saying that Washington insiders crowned Haley queen of the swamp. But she may have a tougher time today when more than a third of all the Republican delegates are up for grabs.
11 of the 15 states in the U.S. have open primaries, so independents and Democrats could vote. And so that, you know, would be potentially something for Nikki Haley to tap into.
Brett Baer, the host of Special Report, is also Fox's chief political anchor who will lead tonight's special primary coverage on Fox News Channel.
But so far, she's only won the D.C., Washington, D.C. primary. And the prospects of a big win someplace, it's tough to see, but, you know, it depends on who comes out.
Now, as far as her campaign, she has vowed to stay in this race. She hasn't said much, though, about beyond Super Tuesday, correct?
Right. And there's some reporting, and we're trying to dig it out about whether there are ads or appearances post Super Tuesday. And so far, it seems like there is not a big roadmap of what's happening after Super Tuesday. So I think, you know, that'll be something to watch tonight for her speech, whenever it happens throughout the evening.
Yeah, we watched in South Carolina. I watched your coverage that night. Former President Trump went first. He did not in New Hampshire, and he was angry about what she said in New Hampshire, but he went first in South Carolina, like minutes after the voting was over there. Do you expect him first, her first? Do you know? Do you have any idea?
I don't know. I think he does like the going first thing. I wouldn't be surprised if he gave a speech early. I think everybody's going to be waiting for her speech to see exactly where this is going. I mean, a lot of the messaging she gave in the last speech in South Carolina, obviously her home state, which she lost significantly, was more about keeping going and that America needs a choice and 70% of the people polled don't want Biden or Trump. I mean, it sounded like a no-labels third-party kind of run, but there's no indication that she's doing that either.
Well, then she shot that down. She said, I'm not I'm a Republican. I'm not an independent. She seemed to say that's not going to happen. So if she's right and she sticks by that, would she potentially be like the others, like Tim Scott, Doug Burgum, who dropped out of the race, that finally would endorse the former president? She's been pretty strong speaking out against him, raising the debt and living, you know, doing a lot of things in office. Chaos always follows him.
Yeah, she's definitely sharpened her elbows in recent weeks. And I don't know that an endorsement would be forthcoming. She may, you know, want a spot on the stage and at the convention. You never know what's happening. I don't think she's in the position for a VP pick, at least from Trump world's perspective. And so what happens next, I think, is anybody's ballgame.
But you're a student of history, Brett. You know, yeah. Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush ran a tough race in 1980. Didn't look like they were going to be a ticket, and they ended up being a ticket.
Right. And that is something that does happen. And she would have the second amount of delegates heading into the convention. So she could make a case. But I don't think Donald Trump is thinking in the way Ronald Reagan is. And everything he says is that VP doesn't matter until it does. You know, in case, you know, if he was in a position where he needed something, he could be transactional in that way and decide that he needs that to win. But there's not a sense that he does at this point. At least he's had a couple of good weeks of storylines and polls, and I'm hard pressed to see how he thinks he'd have to be backed into a corner to take Nikki Haley.
Of course, on Monday, the Supreme Court rules that he is going to be on the Colorado ballot. He's going to be on the Maine ballot. Illinois had also had a decision to remove the Trump name over the 14th Amendment, disqualifying him for leading an insurrection with a Capitol riot, but the justices threw cold water on that whole movement. That was a unanimous decision. Is that what you thought would happen?
I think after listening to the oral arguments that was in the cards, either 8-1 or 9-0. The fact that it was 9-0 is significant. You know, this is across the board the wrong thing for a state to do. And it's only Congress, the ruling says, that could operate on Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. I expect all of that to be kind of expunged. The Maine, the Illinois, Colorado, all of that will be, you know, out of the game. There is another big Supreme Court ruling that will affect the former president's future, and that is this immunity ruling dealing with the January 6th case. Remember, we need a flow chart based on all of these different cases. And you've got January 6th, you've got the documents case, let alone the cases in Manhattan.
Yeah, New York, Georgia, too, which is still up in the air as well. But the Manhattan, the New York City one starts in a couple of weeks. And that's the first one. That's the one that will that they expect no delay there, move forward. And if there's a conviction, we're in uncharted territory, correct?
We are. We are in uncharted territory. But there's nothing in the Constitution that says a convicted felon can't run. There's nothing, you know, politically, you wonder how that affects independents and suburban women. But the former president has done a pretty good job of characterizing this as the witch hunt, as he talks about it. And because all of the cases lined up the way they did, it was easy to paint that picture for even independents who overwhelmingly think he may have done something wrong, but that this has a political edge to it.
Of course, on a night like this with so many votes, so many states, you'll be looking for trends. What kinds of things will you watch for?
Well, I think some of the polls that we will take ahead and during, it's not really an exit poll, it's kind of a rolling poll, we have a survey, will tell us a lot about what people are thinking. If it matches what we see about concern about the president's age, about his ability, I think that's where really the vulnerability and the weakness is for President Biden, as well as the issue of immigration. We've seen immigration be the top issue in Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina. And I bet we're going to continue to see that across the board.
Yeah. And of course, there are Democratic primaries on Super Tuesday. President Biden is expected to win. In Michigan, there were 13% of Democrats there that went uncommitted in a protest vote against the president's support for Israel in the war in Gaza. I know there's a call for some to do that again on Tuesday. Do you think that'll be a story as big as it was?
I don't think as big. Michigan has a pretty interesting contingent, obviously, in there and led by Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib. So it's a little bit concentrated in a place like Michigan and Minnesota. But in many of these Super Tuesday states, it's not as concentrated. I think you'll have, you know, some uncommitted vote, but it won't be as big a story as Michigan.
Are we going to hear from the president? I mean, what if he might win all the contests? Will he speak?
I doubt he'll speak. I think, you know, he'll leave his speaking to the State of the Union on Thursday. And, you know, there, I wouldn't be surprised to hear some changes in immigration executive orders. I wouldn't be surprised to hear a State of the Union that is less about the shopping list and more about threat to democracy and kind of laying the groundwork for what he sees the second term being if he was to be elected.
Now, as the speech writers, they're going to be aware that people are going to be watching him. It'll be after 9 o'clock Eastern time. Is he going to be sharp? Is he going to be, I mean, does he have to address his age in the State of the Union or not?
I think pretty soon he's going to have to make a pretty direct addressing of that, since it is overwhelmingly popping up in every poll. I'm not sure the State of the Union is the place to do it, but I wouldn't be surprised if there are some references to that. I think that his campaign speech is probably going to have to address that. And, you know, politically, part of the vulnerability for President Biden is that Vice President Harris's approval numbers are lower than his. And that's a real weakness when you look at someone who maybe people think is too old, who would be next. And that's part of the problem with that ticket.
The big story coming out of Super Tuesday may be a lot of victories for former President Trump. If he does as well as people think, how close is he to securing the number of delegates he would need for the nomination?
Well, 1,215 is what's needed, and it is possible if he runs the gamut that on the 12th he could clinch. If not the 12th, then definitely the 19th. Just looking at the map and how the math works out. Some of these are proportional. Some of them are winner take all. And if he does very well, he could be in position to mathematically clinch on the 12th.
Brett Baer, who you can watch, of course, with Special Report with Brett Baer on Fox News Channel, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. He's Fox's chief political anchor, and he'll head the coverage on Super Tuesday on Fox News Channel tonight. Brett, great to talk to you. Thanks so much.
All right, you bet.
Kudlow on Fox Business is now on the go for podcast fans. Get key interviews with the biggest business newsmakers of the day. The Kudlow podcast will be available on the go after the show every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
I'm Dana Perino. Join me for my brand new podcast, Perino on Politics. As we analyze the 2024 election cycle, make sure you subscribe to this series on foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts and leave me a rating and review.
This is Janice Dean with your Fox News commentary coming up.
It's Super Tuesday, and former President Trump leads former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley in polling, but he's also already won several state contests, the latest being Missouri and Idaho, though Haley did notch her first win in the District of Columbia. Most of the states holding contests today either hold open primaries like Alabama, Arkansas, Minnesota, Tennessee, Texas, Vermont, and Virginia, and independent or unaffiliated voters get to pick which party ballot they want in Colorado, Maine, Massachusetts, and North Carolina. And those voters are who who former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley is appealing to.
We have some internal numbers that we're looking for, and that's what we're going to focus on. I'm not going to share those today, but our goal is just to be competitive.
But what will she do after Super Tuesday if Trump wins most delegates? She told Fox's Martha McCallum on The Story Monday.
70% of Americans don't want Donald Trump or Joe Biden. 60% of Americans say they don't want, that they think Donald Trump and Joe Biden are too old. I'm a conservative Republican. I always have been. I always will be. I'm not going to do a third party. That's not anything I'm interested in. But these voices cannot be ignored.
While Trump has appeared to be Republicans' pick thus far, Haley points out, even in the latest Fox News poll, that she again beats Biden more easily and gets independents in a general election. Former President Trump said Monday,
I want to win based on my policies are better. We're going to cut taxes. We're going to get interest rates down. You're going to be able to buy homes again. I mean, you can't buy a home today. The interest rates are so high. I want to win on safe borders. I want to stop wars.
He blamed his many legal cases on President Biden.
Fight your fight yourself. Don't use prosecutors and judges to go after your opponent, to try and damage your opponent so you can win an election.
The Biden campaign issued a statement after Trump spoke titled, Statement on Trump's Unhinged Ramblings at His Country Club. Trump did speak from Mar-a-Lago after a legal victory. The Supreme Court unanimously agreed that states cannot keep Trump off the Colorado ballot. The state Supreme Court had found he'd engaged in an insurrection and should be barred from the ballot under Section 3 of the 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. But the U.S. Supreme Court found the Constitution makes Congress, rather than the states, responsible for enforcing that against federal officeholders and candidates.
This was a huge win for President Trump and for our campaign.
Caroline Leavitt is the Trump campaign's 2024 National Press Secretary.
But most importantly for our great country, the Supreme Court was unified in their 9-0 decision that partisan judges from one single state cannot determine who millions of Americans in the rest of the states get to vote for. And so while they were, while the Supreme Court justices were unified in their decision on this ballot election interference case, President Trump will remain focused on unifying the American people to make this country great again, to secure our southern border, to rebuild our economy and our military, to end the wars that have begun under Joe Biden's leadership. And as President Trump exemplified in his press conference yesterday after the ruling, you know, he said that Joe Biden needs to stop using political lawfare to win this electoral battle. Let's win it on the issues that matter to American people. That is the border and our economy and these wars overseas.
Carolyn, there are a lot of delegates up for grabs today, but there will still be some work to do after Super Tuesday, right? You need 1,215 to clinch the nomination. There are a little over 870 delegates, I believe, up for grabs today. So he'll be well on his way, but most of these states are not, I don't think any of the states are winner take all, right? So there will still be, unless you get over 50%, I think, in California or in some states. But so what is the, I guess, the plan? Just to keep on keeping on after Super Tuesday and continue doing what he's been doing? Or is there a shift?
Well, Super Tuesday is going to be a delegate avalanche for President Trump. We are expecting that this will be a pivotal day that brings him very close to achieving the necessary delegates to be the official nominee. Based on our polling, our most conservative estimate of receiving the necessary delegates required is March 12th. And so we are just about a week away from the president officially becoming the Republican Party's nominee. And we're very excited about that. We're going to continue doing exactly what we have been, which is focusing on the general election in Joe Biden, painting a very clear contrast between life in Joe Biden's America and life in President Trump's America. And when voters think about whether they were better off 4 years ago under under Donald Trump or today under Joe Biden, there's a very clear answer. Under President Trump, our border was secure. He was the first president in the modern era not to get us into new wars. Unemployment, interest rates, mortgage rates were all a record low under his leadership. And we've seen all of that change drastically in the last 3.5 years under Joe Biden. And that's why Joe Biden is the weakest president in American history, based on recent polling that shows that he is trailing President Trump. So we feel as though we have the momentum coming out of Super Tuesday, and we're well on our way to President Trump Trump being named the official party nominee. And we're going to keep fighting around the clock to paint that contrast to the American voter.
Okay, so Nikki Haley is still standing. She says she's the alternative. And she, and you know this, she says Trump will be wrapped up in court this year. And that's partly why she's still in this. What is the campaign's response to that? Because it sounds like she's saying, look, we don't know what will happen with Donald Trump, but I'll be here with the second most delegates. And she, it sounds like she thinks that will count for something.
Well, that's wishful thinking on Nikki Haley's behalf. That must be the Democrat donors who are contributing to her campaign, whispering sweet nothings into her ear that are never going to come to fruition. President Trump has the truth on his side, and we're seeing the truth slowly but surely being revealed in all of these Biden-led witch hunts against the former president. The president has the best legal team in the business. They are working around the clock to fight each and every one of these cases. We are winning, as proven once again by the Supreme Court's major 9-0 victory against the election interference cases, which are now dead because of the Supreme Court's ruling. And we'll continue to tackle these cases one day at a time while the president simultaneously makes his pitch to voters and is out on the campaign trail far more than Joe Biden. President Trump gives speeches every week in states across this country in front of thousands and thousands of people. While Joe Biden can hardly read off of a teleprompter. So he'll continue to work hard and outreach to as many voters as he possibly can. And the Democrats want him in a courtroom, but that's not going to stop him.
You know, speaking of making his pitch, the latest Fox News poll shows that Nikki Haley does fare better than Trump against Biden, getting 50% to Biden's 42%. It's like an 8-point lead. And with independents, she's ahead of Biden by 15 points, but Biden is ahead of Trump by 8 points with independents. What is the former president going to do to make the case to independents as he moves through the year?
Well, there's several polls, far more, that actually show President Trump beating Joe Biden with independents. There's many polls that show President Trump winning over Hispanic voters, which no Republican candidate at this stage in the race has ever done. There's also significant polling that shows President Trump winning a historic margin of African-American voters, more so than any other Republican candidate ever. And that's an earth-shattering number in itself for the Democrat Party and for Joe Biden's electoral chances. Joe Biden does not have a base, and Nikki Haley doesn't have a base either. So she should focus on winning voters within her own party before she even talks about a general election. But Joe Biden's base has completely abandoned him. 70% of Democrats wish that they had another option. 60% of Democrats don't think Joe Biden has the mental or physical stamina to be president for another 4 years, while President Trump's base of Republicans has never been more fired up or enthusiastic about his candidacy and ready to vote for him. We've seen that proven in his massive electoral victories throughout this primary, everywhere from Iowa to Nevada to Nikki Haley's home state of South Carolina. You can't win without your base. You can't win without enthusiasm. President Trump has enthusiasm. Joe Biden does not. And when it comes to independence, our message is very clear. Again, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? Any rational, logical American, which most independents are, will think to themselves and think, no, absolutely not. And we're very confident that will be a winning message on November the 5th.
Former President Trump has said that President Biden, as you already noted, would do better if he stopped these prosecutions against him, that the prosecutions only seem to strengthen Trump. But there is some polling that indicates a big chunk of people, including Republicans, would not vote for someone who's convicted of a felony. Is that on the minds of the campaign?
No. What's on our mind is fighting these legal witch hunts that are led by the Biden White House and the Biden campaign. What's on our mind is making sure President Trump can be out on the campaign trail as much as possible, speaking directly to voters, because that's where he wins voters over, something Joe Biden himself cannot do. And so, again, we will continue to have our legal team fight all of these cases, expose the truth about them, and we will continue to ensure President Trump is making his message and pitch to voters very clear.
Okay, finally, there is a world of time, as you know, between now and November, but a lot can happen, right? And the economy is the big issue other than the border. This latest Fox News poll has 26% saying the economy is good or fair. I know that's very low, but it's actually better than it has been in 2 years. So it's climbing. It's going up. even though it's still obviously very low. Mm-hmm. If the economy slowly but surely, you know, gets better, or people even just perceive it is, how does the campaign navigate that? I mean, that will be good for Biden. The president is not, former President Trump is not going to want to root for, you know, a bad economy. So how do you all, you know, navigate that?
Voters won't forget what has happened to them over the past 3.5 years. The highest inflation in a generation has rocked American households across this country, robbing them of $20,000 every single year, $20,000 more just to have the same quality of life that they had a few years ago. 70% of Americans say that they are getting behind, they're falling behind, they're not getting ahead. And so, sure, if inflation comes down, gas prices come down, that doesn't mean that people are still not suffering from the catastrophic impact that the record high inflation that we've had and the record high gas prices has had on their pocketbooks and their households. Buying a home and affording a family is the American dream. And just in 3 short years under Joe Biden, that dream has become completely unattainable for so many. And you compare that to the booming economy that we had, especially pre-pandemic, where unemployment was a record low, jobs were returning back home from overseas because small businesses and even large companies in this country felt as though they were able, they had the bandwidth to hire people because they were making more money. And so the confidence in our economy under President Trump was highest ever. Under Joe Biden, it's lowest ever. And there's no way that Joe Biden will be able to make up ground on this very important issue.
Caroline Leavitt, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. It's been 20 years, but detectives in Florida believe they have found the remains of Autumn Lane McClure, a 16-year-old girl who vanished in 2004. In May of that year, Autumn's grandmother reported her missing, telling police her then-boyfriend dropped her off at the mall and then they never heard from her again. A few months later, the sheriff's office received evidence that she was staying with 31-year-old Brian Donley and his girlfriend Jessica Freeman. They worked with Autumn at Winn-Dixie. At the time, they claimed the teenager stayed with them for a few days and then left. In 2021, police received a tip that Freeman and Donley were involved in Autumn's disappearance. After Donley died in May of 2022, Freeman called police, asked for immunity, and revealed the teen was in a sexual relationship with the much older couple and that she saw Donley strangle Autumn. Last year, Freeman told detectives Autumn was buried in the Ormond Beach area of Florida. And that's where the remains were found. Police say it'll be difficult to determine a cause of death. There's more on this story at foxnews.com. Subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast with Emily Campagno. I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
Thursday, President Joe Biden delivers his State of the Union address to a joint session of Congress, and Fox News Radio has complete coverage. Just click listen on the Fox News app starting at 8 p.m. Eastern to hear it all. Go to foxnewsradio.com for more details. Subscribe to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com.
It's time for your Fox News commentary.
Janice Dean.
What's on your mind?
When it comes to what happened in New York back in the spring of 2020, if we were to have another pandemic tomorrow, how would our current leaders handle it? Without a thorough investigation into the decisions that were made during the height of the COVID-19 epidemic, I fear we will once again be putting lives and livelihoods in jeopardy. This was a catastrophic event that has never been given a thorough postmortem to evaluate and dissect decisions made by the highest levels of government. Looking back at the worst disasters our country has been through, like 9/11 or Hurricane Katrina, there were studies, after-action reviews, hearings, and investigations to reflect on and learn from. I'm holding out hope that the Pandemic Response Study Commission, Act A-8053 and S-8168, being considered by legislators in New York State, will begin the process of trying to provide answers and accountability. Because for many of our families, this is deeply personal. We lost my husband's parents in late March and early April in 2020 after a reckless order was issued to admit thousands of COVID-positive patients into adult care facilities. Over the last few years since their deaths, I have taken part in countless rallies, hearings, and advocated for the passage of legislation, but until now, nothing has ever been done. We, the people of New York, have every right to know how and why these decisions were made and who signed off on them. The one thing that was known very early on in the pandemic is that our elderly were the most susceptible to contracting the virus. Some of our questions include finding out the origins of the March 25th order that flooded nursing homes with COVID patients. Were doctors and/or scientists involved in these decisions? And why weren't the makeshift hospitals consisting of those set up at the New York City's Jacob Javits Center and the USS Comfort ever used? Access to this information will only come if there is subpoena power. Without it, we won't have the data, communication, and testimony to help us better understand how these life or death decisions were made. To this day, we still don't have an exact count of how many seniors we lost, or a comprehensive after-action review developed by the state agencies on the COVID-19 response. The pandemic is much bigger than the flaws of any one single official, but the overall system was broken to begin with and needs to be rebuilt from the ground up. COVID killed more than 80,000 New Yorkers, with over 15,000 of those being our seniors. With exception to the comptroller's audit and a report in January 2021 from Attorney General Letitia James confirming nursing homes were ill-equipped and ill-prepared to deal with the pandemic, we have not seen anything to show that our government is making the proper adjustments or establishing protocols to ensure that this won't happen again. A Category 5 disaster which took the lives of tens of thousands of New Yorkers should be a priority for everyone who cares about the safety of our state and its citizens in the future. These issues need to transcend partisan politics. It's up to us to remind our leaders that if we don't learn from the past and the mistakes that were made, then our loved ones will have died in vain. That is why I'm urging lawmakers and all of New Yorkers to join together and support the passing of Pandemic Response Study Commission Act, A8053 and S8168. There have been proposals and well-intentioned hearings in the past, but I pray that this one makes it past the finish line. Because every day that goes by without answers means we get further away from finally uncovering the truth. Janice Dean, Fox News.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Ben Domenech, Fox News contributor and editor of the Transom.com daily newsletter. And I'm inviting you to join a conversation every week. It's the Ben Domenech Podcast.
Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.